Welcome to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast. I'm Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss a new study by Whitehead and Engler titled Regenerative Crosstalk Between Cardiac Cells and Macrophages, which was published as part of our call for papers on deconstructing organs, single-cell analyses, decellularized organs, organoids, and organ-on-a-chip models. This article was published March 26th, 2021. Joining us today are host Ganesh Halade, authors Adam Engler and Alex Whitehead, and expert Tabin Hale. Let's get started.
In this innovative research article from Adam Engler and Alexander Whitehead detailed the innovative role of fibroblasts that connecting to the macrophages in cardiac remodeling process. Their work highlights an intricate process of inflammation and scar formation that suggest 37 genes are critically involved based on cardiac-specific RNA sequencing datasets. For that, authors compared two datasets, one from adult repair and other from neonatal regeneration. I'm curious to know more details about the regenerative and repair network you developed. Are there differences in the early sterile response compared to later part of cardiac remodeling? Adam, please.
Well, first, thank you so very much for highlighting our recent publication. We're really excited about the observations that we were able to make from this meta-analysis, where we compared postnatal day 1 and 8 hearts that had been infarcted and comparing regions around the infarct to regions distal from that in sort of a sham control. What I think was the most interesting finding is that in the postnatal day 1 hearts, the regenerative programs are still readily active, such that if you look at the transcriptomic signatures of these hearts, say a week later, they resemble the sham controls, whereas that's not the case with hearts that were infarcted only days later. So there's something unique about this very early time window, and that is what we explored. In terms of the RNA sequencing data that we mined in this paper, we noted that there are two distinct clusters, an infarct cluster and a sham control cluster. But when you dig deeper into the control cluster, we actually find that the postnatal day 1 injured hearts completely remodel by about 3 days post-infarct. And so these 37 pathways that normally turn on and stay active throughout the remodeling process when the animals are older, when they are very young, that postnatal day 1 heart, the pathways turn on very acutely, but it turn off very quickly thereafter. So that, I think, was some of the most interesting findings that we saw in this manuscript.
So this is really exciting. I found this was a really unique approach and a unique meta-analysis to connect the inflammation and the scar formation gene networks. So if you could share with us, how do you differentiate the physiological gene network from the pathological gene network?
The genes that we looked at are usually restricted to stress response. And so to better isolate the pathological signals from normal steady state processes, we only looked for expression patterns that were different between the regenerative, so postnatal day 1, and non-regenerative or postnatal day 8 hearts after infarction. And then we also made sure that those gene expression patterns were different from sham. And then finally, we also excluded noisy or lowly expressed genes, and then cross-referenced with the literature in the fibrosis area as kind of further validation of those points.
That's interesting. Adam, do you want to add anything?
Sure. I would just add that I think this is a very good example of the sum being greater than the parts. I don't think that we would be able to identify these pathways and be able to study how they quickly turn on and off in a regenerative environment without being able to integrate over several different large sequencing data sets. So this is not something that one could commonly do from, say, an individual manuscript themselves. So I think that we were able to highlight very specific inflammatory processes that were critical to the post-MI remodeling process because we were able to integrate over multiple data sets and perform this meta-analysis.
We know that macrophages have a variety of roles in debris clearance process. And if that debris clearance process is incomplete, that lead to pathological remodeling after cardiac injury. What is your thought on macrophages' content in the context of their roles in fibrotic remodeling?
Absolutely. In fact, the new subset that we identified, the CXCR4 positive macrophages, when we performed gene ontology enrichment, we found that they were really enriched in cathepsins. And in a lot of the immunology literature, these proteins are normally implicated in MHC class 2 processes, such as antigen presentation. But we also recognize that these cells may also degrade dead cell debris or even matrix. And so I think that this highlights another area that needs further research to understand what these cells do in the context of MI.
That's great. You know, in addition to the comparison of the time points, which allows you to differentiate the potentially regenerative from the ongoing pathological, what I really like about this review is that while many studies focus either on macrophage or fibroblast populations, you know, as we know, the repair process is in a coordination of these two cell types. And so I really appreciate that your study integrates this. And so what cellular and molecular pathways, in your opinion, need to be targeted for the therapeutic success?
Generally speaking, we think that the NF-kappa-B and AP1 pathways are really central to scar formation. But clinically, we think that rather than inhibiting these pathways, which are super important to all kinds of homeostatic processes as well, we think it would be better to inhibit ligand binding or generation of these molecules upstream of these pathways. So similarly, I think that you could inhibit macrophage recruitment, but that might limit the ability to respond to future challenges. And so instead, we need to first understand what these immune cells are contributing to the milieu and then inhibit those most harmful targets.
Yeah, that's, I think, interesting connecting to both macrophages and fibroblasts. So on that line, how to differentiate a gene network of repair and regeneration after ischemic event?
Ash, thanks for the question. It's a really interesting set of assumptions that we made. Our approach was to assume that a regenerative neonatal heart would have pathways that were turned on that would contribute to healing. So something that would turn on very quickly and then turn off over subsequent days. Whereas the process in an adult non-regenerative heart would essentially stabilize that heart. So it would be a pathway that turns on and remains on and would not then support the functional recovery of the tissue. So there are distinct signaling network expression profiles that we chose to focus on.
So Alex, I'm wondering if you would comment or elaborate on the idea that fibroblasts are often considered a more inert cell type than macrophage. What do your RNA sequencing based data that you have evaluated in these data sets, what does this data suggest in that regard?
So I like to think of fibroblasts as integrators of many cellular and molecular cues, and that they're the last step in decoding the crosstalk of the myocardium before triggering matrix deposition. And I think that the heterogeneity of cardiac fibroblasts is something that's currently being explored, but not fully understood. So I think that this is really an area that needs a lot more investigation to be able to propel the field forward more.
Adam, and next question, how did this RNA-seq big data set assist you to differentiate macrophage and fibroblast-specific network?
Our ability to separate the behaviors of macrophages and fibroblasts from each other and then integrate them together really relied on the presence of both single cell and pre-sorted bulk data sets, and that these could act as companions to one another when creating a myocardial data set. So we found that most of the age-associated changes of fibroblasts were involved in the inflammatory response, in particular, with respect to damage sensing and leukocyte adhesion, Conversely, then the macrophage data set allowed us to identify which clusters were likely recruited at the different time points because these cells actively have to home to the site of injury. So by incorporating multiple data sets with different data types, we could use one data set to inform the other and understand what cells might be contributing to any given response in a bulk data set using the companion single cell sequencing sets.
Adam and Alex, if you had this endless possibility of data sets to choose from, would there be different time points that you would have ideally liked to evaluate as opposed to the distinct ones that were available?
Given the fact that we see such marked differences with time with these really early neonatal mice, if we could have, say, 12 or even 6-hour data sets to really map out the curve for the quick on and off pattern, that would be ideal because that could really tell us more about the signaling network as opposed to a bit more granular data that currently exists. I don't know what Alex's thoughts are. And I know that all that's really expensive, but I think that that would be immensely helpful in clarifying all the pathways that we outlined in the third figure in the paper.
To kind of add on to that, it would be really great to then have a phosphoproteomics data set, which is even more noisy and presumably expensive. And I think it would be also interesting to kind of look at several months out and just confirm that, you know, what we see on day 7, particularly in the regenerative hearts, is still the same in a much more chronic kind of setting.
It's such a great approach that you guys have taken because, you know, these are incredibly costly studies for a single lab or lab group to do. So I love that the approach of mining and integrating those data sets. You know, I really enjoyed this paper. So thank you for writing it. And thank you for doing these analyses. I think we can learn a lot from this type of meta-analysis. And again, that concept of looking at in that early postnatal where there's still regenerative capacity and what's different there from the postnatal and what's lost. Well, I think that's a great approach.
Yeah, I would take very little credit. Alex is really the 30,000 foot view expert in my group. And so he is constantly thinking in terms of these very large signaling networks.
Well, congratulations, yeah. Alex. This is a, you know, really, really cool approach and a great paper.
Yes. Any punchline to add, both Alex and Adam?
I just wanted to say thank you for hosting us on our first podcast. And we're excited to be a part of the AJP-HCP experience and look forward to listening to future episodes.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for hosting us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the AJP Heart and Circ podcast. Our theme music was written and performed by Ray Mitchell. Catch the latest episodes of our podcast at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.